This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 8, 2021. The 10th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Arise and eat, for thou hast a great way to go. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words are the words of an angel spoken to the prophet Elijah when he was in a very depressive state. Our reading this morning starts out with, he went into a desert and he falls asleep under a broom tree. Why did he go out into the desert? Most people don't go out into the desert unless they're prompted in some way. Desert's not a particularly nice place to be. So what went on to get Elijah into the desert? This right before Elijah goes into the desert, we have these very dramatic display of his confrontation, his fight with the false prophets of Baal, the false god to which the vast majority of the people of God had turned, to the point where they were actually starting to sacrifice some of their children to these false gods. Well, even though it looks like everybody does this, there are some people who are faithful who stand up, Elijah being one. Elijah throws a gauntlet. He says, let's do this. You set up an altar, put an offering on it, you pray to Baal, and you pray that he comes out and gets his offering. And I'll do the same thing, and I'll pray to the living God, and we'll see what happens. You go first, being a nice guy. You go first. They dance around, they stomp around, they cut themselves, they're screaming and hollering. And it's not even a matter of Elijah just kind of sits back and watches them go on and like that. He mocks them. Why don't you dance harder, scream louder? Baal must be asleep. Wake him up. If you cut yourself more, then maybe he'll answer you then. Well, they keep it up and keep it up till they get exhausted. He just lets them go. He can't do anything else. And Elijah goes, now, let's see. Well, before I make my prayer, here, do this. Dump all kind of water all over the offering and all over the altar. As a matter of fact, dig a trench and fill it with water around the altar. And I'll pray. And he does. And fire comes down from heaven and consumes the offering, the stone altar, and all the water that's been poured around it. And then there's a little icing on the cake, a servant of God. He goes over to the exhausted prophets of Baal and doesn't go, see, he kills them. If the prophets of Baal are the ones whom the government likes, the evil government of his day, they're going to get kind of cranky. The evil government of his day was King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife. Jezebel basically wore the pants in that family, so to speak. She says, if the sun sets and he is not dead, and she calls curses down on herself. This is a powerful woman. She's got an army at her disposal. Go kill him. And if he's not dead by the end of the day, she calls curses down on herself. So this can prompt you to go out the desert. Elijah flees. He gets out there, lays under this broom tree. Lord, take away my soul. This is how bad it is with him. He's overwhelmed. He's suicidal. If he was suicidal, he would have killed himself. He doesn't do that. He says, Lord, take away my soul. If you take me, I prefer it. What kind of mentality is that? Well, one like St. Paul has. Remember St. Paul, New Testament, to live as Christ, to die as Cain. It's better to be absent with the body and present with the Lord. And so, yeah, this understanding by the servants of God that this isn't our place, and I just assume not be here, particularly given that people are gunning to kill me, that can put you in this mode. This is where we start. Lord, take away my soul. Why is he so depressed? He just won a great victory, right? He doesn't gloat. He doesn't gloat over it. It's like in warfare. You can win a huge battle. You devastate the enemy. And if you got half a lick of sense, you're not happy that you had to kill a bunch of people and blow up a bunch of stuff. It's a necessity that must be done. That was what Elijah did. Why he's depressed is, first and foremost, is because he sees his people. Like I said before, they're starting to offer their own children to these false gods. And Elijah is overwhelmed to see the people who are supposed to be the people of God being just the opposite. They're being just the opposite. They've not only ignored their God, they are starting to serve other gods. They're, for all intent and purposes, waging a war against God. And he's overwhelmed by that. He's a servant of God. He's supposed to be one of the prophets of the people. He's supposed to be nurturing them in their faith, and they won't have it. And he's overwhelmed by this. You know, another reason he's, you know, Lord, take me up. He just went through that dramatic event that I just described. Although he won that one, he might have won the battle, but he hasn't won the war if Jezebel's army comes and kills him for it. Then the pagans win. He doesn't want to see that happen. He does not want to see them have a victory. Lord, you take me. Don't let them catch me and kill me. Not that he feared death, obviously doesn't, because he's saying, Lord, take me. So he doesn't fear dying. He fears that they're going to take him. And they will win the ultimate victory. And he doesn't want to see that. And then again, as I said about St. Paul, any servant of God, really, we should approach our faith with a more and more profound detachment for the things of this world, including life. Does not our Lord Jesus Christ say, he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it? Because there are much more things that are worse than death. We should understand that. And for those of you who are visiting, people that are here all the time, can't be here more than a couple weeks and not hear this one. Why are we here? We're getting ready for death. Because if we're realists, we don't know when it may happen. We need to prepare ourselves. It could be 8 years old or 108 years old. We don't know. So we're getting ourselves ready for death. We should start this detachment from the world. To understand that, as St. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It is a better thing not to be here. That's our faith. You wouldn't know it by talking to most people, that it's better to be in heaven than it is to be here. When we are overwhelmed by the situations, as Elijah was, as the angel told him, and there are a couple different translations. In the older translation, thou hast a great way to go in this journey of the desert. The newer translations are actually more in sync with the Hebrew, which is the original language. Is the journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for you. You can't go on this journey. What is the journey it's a literal journey. He's in Beersheba. He's got to go to Mount Horeb. It's about 300 miles. 300 miles across the desert. He has no provisions. He has nothing. He's just running for his life. He's out in the desert. He's got nothing. I got nothing. They're after me. Lord, take me. What does God do? He provides for him. He provides for him. He just basically passes out in the shade, and the Lord sends an angel. The angel nudges him. Arise and eat. There's a bird. He looks up and there's a bird there. That's a bread and a flask of water. Wow, what a miracle is that? How awesome. He eats and drinks, goes back to sleep. Gets nudged again. Arise and eat, for thou hast a great way to go. The journey is too great for you. So he arises and he eats this bread and drinks this water that the bird brought him. As extraordinarily providential as that is, it sustains him for a journey of 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't eat or drink anything else. He walks across the desert sustained by this provision of God for 40 days and 40 nights. That whole, like, 40 days and 40 nights, like our Lord of the desert, or the 40 years that the Hebrew people walked in the desert, very penitential and very, you know, appropriate to the desert experience of which we are in this world. St. Ambrose speaking about this, and this is where we start to transition from a really kind of cool history lesson, and wasn't Elijah awesome, and wasn't God awesome for providing for him? St. Ambrose says, Elijah was fleeing. He was fleeing the contagion of the filthy conduct and the impious acts of an unholy and sinful generation. That is a segue into applying this to our lives. If you're paying any attention, or you can't help it, if you're paying any attention, we are dealing, in some category, in spades, with what Elijah was dealing with. And if we're dealing with what he had to deal with, should we not feel like he did, if we are a servant of God? We should be depressed when every time you open the news, and it's this bad thing. Kind of got a kick out of it this week. You watch the news, you know, for the whole first part of the week was COVID, like that won't stop, okay? And then the rest of the week, you didn't see anything about COVID. It was global warming. It's like, can you stop? Did anything on the face of this planet good happen? But that's what you get. That's what you get, how bad things are. And they are. They are bad. So, things are just bad. The church, oh my gosh, if you pay attention, which you should be, it's on fire. It's disintegrating around us. We shouldn't get depressed about it because our Lord said the gate of hell will not prevail against it. And he said it will not prevail against us. Say he won't kick it around. That's an understatement. So what Elijah dealt with, an evil government, Ahab and Jezebel. Look at ours. Well, there's some good people in the government. I'm talking about the government as a whole. It's evil. There is no sin that not only do they not embrace, but cram down our throats. The most heinous of sins. Oh, that's right. You need to deal with that. You need to, we don't have to deal with any sin. We shouldn't be dealing with sin. But they're evil. They're the government. What are we? We're the church. Well, what we got the church? Elijah. He's dealing with a corrupt people of God. They're corrupt. They're serving false gods. Look at our church. I mean, look at what's going on. We hear for months and years how we have to accompany the most heinous of sinners in this world. You ought to accompany them, accompany these vile sinners that won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, thus saith the Lord. But you got to accompany them. We can't accompany people who want to pray in a traditional manner. What's going on? Exactly what Scripture says. They will call evil good and good evil. We're dealing with that. It could be depressive if God didn't provide for us. And this is not to mention, you know, other things that not even met. Here Elijah's all depressed. He didn't have a pandemic. He didn't get up every morning and open his Apple and say, you know, read all about this COVID and that stat and this stat and everything like that. We had to deal with that. So we deal with stuff that he didn't even deal with. Not to mention our own interior struggles. Not to mention our own, if you're like me, your own past. 30 years out of the church. I loved living like a pagan. I did it well. The consequences of that hang over my head every single day. It could be overwhelming if God didn't provide for me. He provides for each and every one of us in a much more profound way than he provided for Elijah. And you hear a story like, a bird brought him some bread and a flask of water. Now, I'd love to see that. What is that? Some bread and water and a bird? What is that compared to the Holy Spirit coming down on our altar and changing bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ himself? He was sustained for 40 days and 40 nights because he ate some bread and drank some water. How much more are we sustained who eat the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the provision. This is why we have so much more going for us to persevere through these things than did Elijah. And he did. This is the reality of our faith. This is why our Lord in the gospel today, he emphasized, I am the bread of life. There is no other bread of life. Muhammad's not a bread of life. Buddha's not a bread of life. None of them are bread of life. I am the bread of life. And if I haven't made that clear enough, time and time again, the bread which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Not a piece of bread that symbolizes my flesh, whether you think it is or not. The bread I give for the life of the world is my flesh. That is what we receive when we come to the altar. This is what we receive if we are properly disposed to do so. This provision that our Lord gives us. The problems don't go away. The problems never went away for Elijah. What did he do though? The whole fight or flight thing. He did both. He fought when it was necessary and he fled when it was necessary. It's contextual. Whether you flee or you fight has to do with the situation. But you got to do one or the other. Because rolling over doesn't do anything. Early church father. Most people, when they say early church father, Augustine, Ambrose, Ephraim the Syrian, who is a pretty prominent early church father. Speaking of this passage, you can't escape affliction through death, but through your flight. You've got to flee or fight against these things. Be like what St. Ambrose says. Elijah was fleeing the contagion of an evil and perverse generation. That word contagion, you can catch it. If you don't fight against it, or if you don't flee from it, it will infect you. And it is terminal. And you will die spiritually unless God provides for you, which he has. He has provided us the body, blood, soul, and divinity of his very Son to strengthen us through this desert experience. We do have to understand this is not our place. Contrary to what you read a lot, you know, like if we just clean it up a little, we should just want to stay here. That's not the message. The church's message is this, harkening back, you know, what are we presenting in our day and age? That we're sinners in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. He died for your sins to get you into heaven, and he has provided for you before you get there. That's the gospel. That's the message. Not, isn't this a nifty place? Make sure you clean up after yourself. This is not a social justice organization. It's not, you know, an eco-establishment. It is the Church of Jesus Christ. This is what we need to understand. This is what we need to live. And this is what we need to present to other people. Then we're doing what our Lord has set us out to do. And he strengthens us to do that. So as we are confronted with all this trash, as you're confronted with it, don't ever lose sight of the fact that there are good things that go on here. Kind of got to dig for them anymore. Don't look at news. Look at your own life. There are good things that go on. They're encouraging. There are good things going on in the church. If nothing else, people resisting the, let us say, twists in the presentation. There's good things going on. We just need to pay attention to them. But even if you're not paying attention to them, know for a fact, we have been given God's provision. It far exceeds what Elijah got. And he walked through a desert literally for 40 days and 40 nights without anything else. How much farther can we go? Eating the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, at the end of the day, we need to, if we are properly disposed, eat the bread of life that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to drink the chalice of his blood. And then we need to do what the angel said. We need to arise and walk in the strength of that food that he has provided for us, gives us for this long journey, as long as it may take. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.